I just mentioned to you this story that has broken in the last 24 hours or so, that Reggie Love, who once served as President Obama's body man, has now given us an insight into what the president was doing the day that bin Laden was killed. Because the president is happy to go around the country, and when the subject comes up or when he feels like throwing it into a speech, he talks about how he got bin Laden. In fact, at the press conference a week ago, he mentioned, "I got bin Laden." Well, you didn't get bin Laden, Mr. President. The American military killed him. They ran the mission. The American CIA and other intelligence agencies got the information to find out where the heck he was, and you took the credit. But what is really extraordinary in the story we're now hearing from the president's former body man, Reggie Love, is that on the day of the raid, the president declared that he couldn't sit in the White House Situation Room and watch all these information feeds. So he and the White House photographer and Reggie Love sat in the private dining room of the White House, which I'm guessing probably doesn't have TV screens and audio feeds all over the place like the Situation Room does, and they played cards. 15 rounds of cards while all of this was going on. I don't know, it just shows a kind of a colossal lack of interest or curiosity. If you were president and you were sending men into harm's way who were going to carry out a really tough mission, wouldn't you have wanted to be in a position where you knew exactly what was going on, or as much as you could know from this side of the world? Because the information feeds were terrific. You know, the digital communications back, I don't know that they had real-time video, that's another question, but they certainly had a real-time feed of information coming back that as the folks on the ground in Afghanistan were communicating with the soldiers that we have, these brave men who went in on that mission, the president would have been able to hear what was going on. I guess he just wanted them to call him when they finally either got bin Laden or got killed or had some problem, and they did have problems. I'm betting that even though the White House photographer was part of that card game, do you suppose he ever stood up and took a picture and said, "Hey, here's what the president was doing the day he got bin Laden. He was playing cards in the White House dining room." I know that some of you who love President Obama and voted for him, maybe even twice. I mean, it's one thing to make the mistake once, but when you've made the mistake twice, you are a thoroughgoing Democrat. But I guess that may be one of the reasons why the president and everybody around him has been so shy about telling us exactly what Obama was doing the night that those four Americans were murdered in Benghazi last September the 11th. Because we might just find out he was playing cards or watching a movie, shooting hoops or whatever. He does a lot of recreational activities for a guy with a full-time, 24-hour-a-day job. He manages to find a lot of ways to entertain himself because, you know, this business of sitting in the Situation Room, watching what's going on, being right there in case somebody needs a judgment call made. Do you remember when Jimmy Carter sent those helicopters in to try to rescue the hostages in Iran and it turned into the disaster in the desert? Maybe the president didn't want to be in the room if something like that happened. And we came very close to it because they did crash one of the helicopters. It was a soft landing or a soft crash, but it was a crash all the same. We could have had men on the ground, injured or dying. We didn't, thank God. But the president would have been up in the dining room. And I understand, they can pick up a phone and call him and say, "Hey, come on down." But if you were president of the United States, wouldn't you have wanted to be right there observing everything you could observe from this side of the planet? Obama didn't want to do it. He told Reggie Love, "I just can't be down there all day for this thing." So he played cards instead. And I'm willing to bet that of all the other photos they take of Obama, usually of ones, you know, like the ones where he's staring out the window or looking up at the moon or, you know, 100 different things, they all seem to be, I'm kind of reminded of the old Saddam Hussein stories we used to hear from Iraq, that everywhere you went in Iraq, there was a picture of the leader painted on the side of a building or on a billboard or a monument somewhere. This guy is a monument to his own narcissism. And the fact that he couldn't take the time to watch and listen as the mission went on, but he did have the time. I mean, it wasn't like he said, "Well, I can't be in the Situation Room because I've been called into a big conference with leaders of Congress," or even "I have to be at a campaign fundraiser," which he always has time for. Even after those four were murdered in Benghazi, he had time to fly away from Washington, D.C., go off to Vegas to a campaign fundraiser, because that was more important than figuring out what happened on the ground where Americans were murdered at a diplomatic outpost. But he was available. He, in fact, had to find a way to burn up all that time, so he sat and played spades with the White House photographer and his body man instead of sitting there and watching. And I would ask you, what does that say about this man's character? Since I want to judge him on his character and his actions. Cindy is on the line from Spanaway. Hey, Cindy, welcome to the commute.
Hi, Lars. Gosh, it's nice to hear you in the morning.
Thank you.
Lars, you know, I'm going to go off a little bit, but this is just a perpetuation of what Obama does. First, and I haven't listened to it for a long time, so I'm not going to get it exact, but, you know, in the George Zimmerman case, Obama, the very last thing he says when he says, well, what I could have said is it could have been me 30 years ago, is he talks about, I can't help but something like, what would have happened if the shoe would have been on the other foot, if Trayvon Martin would have had, and George Zimmerman would have been, so, I mean, that was what was implied. And it's like, okay, so it's okay that one gets killed, one race gets killed, but not the other?
That's the way I think he looks at it.
It is, but all you have to do is listen, and nobody's brought that up. This is a very racist president. And not only that, nobody even brings up the fact that George Zimmerman, it's not much, but he's an eighth black, and that counts. You know, everybody talks about all these DNA tests that are going on now, or, you know, or genealogy. The other thing is, Obama first perpetuated this thing about Benghazi, he sent a man to prison for a year. Falsely, for a year. This man lost a year of his life.
Now you're talking about the filmmaker, the Coptic Christian who did
filmmaker.
The film.
They lied about.
Yep.
I mean, come on. What is it going to take? I have to admit, I'm getting really tired of Republicans because it's not race, and if they don't get past this, something bad's going to happen.
Well, hold on. You're getting tired of Republicans. What are the Republicans doing? This is the president's action. So what?
That's the point. They're doing nothing. They've got enough on this president to actually bring him to task on some of this stuff. They need to do it. I want our party to be stronger. We need this. Our country is being ruined, and it scares the daylights out of me. And the other thing that is very important, and it just started up again, finally, Michael Savage has been bringing this out, and he is on this radio channel, and about the folks who died in the helicopter crash. They were on an old helicopter. Nobody was sent in. They bring them back. They cremate them before the parents. And then they have a Muslim imam at the services. And the parents, Michael's had a lot of the families
on there. I got to tell you, though, Cindy. I understand that there are other people who have different points of view. I have my own point of view, and I base it on information. The fact that an older helicopter crashed, the fact that the U.S. government investigated it, I mean, if the government was going to, if his theory is that the government was going to get rid of people because they're inconvenient witnesses, there'd be far less spectacular ways and ways that are far less likely to attract attention.
Right, and I agree with you. However, if you listen to these parents, and I believe even one of them was on Fox, one of the news channels, one of the parents, and this is recent. So if you research this, and just don't let it go, because now a congressman, according to what I've heard, and now a congressman has actually come forward and is looking into this, and the parents are very happy. So don't just listen to one side. I don't just listen to one side.
I'm glad.
I learned in college.
I read both sides. I listen to both sides. But I also, I mean, for instance, Michael Hastings, the reporter who was investigating Brennan, now head of the CIA, and Brennan, it looks like, may have been involved in some activities to go after journalists who are doing critical stories on the administration. But it's you have to get this to a level of proof, because otherwise, when I look at a lot of the claims that people make that are not well-founded, that's dangerous, too, because then what you get is people believing that all you do is go out and make outrageous charges and say things, whether you think, whether you've got the facts to back them up or not. And so that's why I don't buy into most of the conspiracy theories. When you've got a really good theory, there should be factual backup. I mean, for instance, today, talking about where the president was during the bin Laden raid, we know where he was because one of the people who's his friend was sitting there playing cards with him and has talked about it publicly. So try not to extend too far on information and invent conspiracy theories that are impossible to prove. I mean, for example, if the U.S. government wanted people to die in a helicopter crash and have it not appear suspicious at all, we certainly have that capability. The CIA, I'm sure, has a way to gimmick a helicopter so that it goes straight into the ground and everybody on board dies. But with that capability, what's the likelihood that after the fact you're going to find out the real truth? There's no way to prove it, which means it just makes a great conspiracy theory, and that's why I'm less impressed with that. Cindy, thanks for the call. Let's go to Mike in Tacoma. Hey, Mike, welcome to The Commute with Carlson. Yeah. Lars Larson standing in for him.
Hi, Lars. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing very well today. How are you?
Okay, thank you.
What's on your mind?
Well, what I'm concerned about is that this guy is a very irresponsible individual.
I
don't care for him because he always sidesteps everything that our men do. And on top of that, he wants to downsize our whole service, men and women. And I'm fed up with him. And we need a replacement as soon as possible.
Unfortunately, it's three years away.
Pardon?
Unfortunately, it's about 3 years away.
Yeah, well,
we might get Hillary.
Said, I mean, if the American people can't put on a show and people laugh about it, then there's something wrong. We've lost our citizenship because of his idiotically ideas.
I couldn't agree with you more. And there are ways for Americans to fight back, but let me tell you the most clear way, Mike, and it's a piece of advice to people. There are members of Congress home in their home districts right now. They are holding town halls right now. If you believe that America wants change and it isn't just you and me and a few other people that are critical of this guy, then why aren't they showing up at those town hall meetings to say, number one, defund and eliminate Obamacare before it destroys the American economy and America's health care? Number two, you've got to get people back working again, which means tell the EPA to take a break on all these new crazy regulations that are literally shutting down the coal industry and a lot of other American industries. Number three, give us an answer as to why those four Americans died and why President Obama spent 2 weeks telling us that it was a movie that caused them to die and not something else. If those people start showing up at town hall meetings, and I mean in Washington State too, go to Cantwell and Murray's town halls, go to the town halls for both conservatives and liberals who represent you in Congress and tell them that you want these things done. If you don't do that, we've got nobody to blame but ourselves. 888-312-5757. It's The Commute with Carlson. Lars Larson standing in for John this week on Talk Radio 570 KVI.